Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Hello and welcome everyone to another InventRight podcast. Today we have our wonderful, one of our students who's actually an alumni and started with the InventRight program. And this is Michelle Morrison. So we are here to talk to her about her experience being a student in the InventRight program, her journey through the licensing process, and any tips and key points that she can talk about that can hopefully motivate and inspire others. So welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Thank you, Sylvia. It's nice to be on. I've listened to all the others and it's nice to be the guest.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing your story. So I'm pretty much going to leave it up to you and let you start talking about your journey through, you know, how you came about to finding InventRight, and just kind of tell us your story and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, thank you again. And my story begins like most inventor product developers. You start doing it young, and somewhere along the way, you either come up with a product that you feel compelled to take to the market, or you leave it by the wayside and wish you had and never do it. And so the beginning of my journey started with a career in the healthcare industry and always wanting to get my products moving forward. And once you see a product that you've developed, you've sketched out, maybe, you know, that's all the farther it went, but you see that on the store shelves, I think that's where I finally said, you know, my products have value. Mm-hmm. And if something I had dreamed up years before is on a shelf being sold, then other things could be too. And So I worked for a doctor that was very supportive of my goal. And he and his family were excited for me to advance. And so we knew that that at some point I was going to journey into product developing.
So while you were in healthcare, you were always, it sounds like you were always like constantly coming up with ideas, or was it more like you had one idea in mind that you kept on thinking of wanting to bring to market?
I know, definitely it was a book of ideas.
Okay.
I'm a problem solver. So if I see something, and this comes really, my dad was, and his family were problem solvers. So they would make or adapt tools or products to work for them. And they just didn't have that entrepreneur spirit that went that next mile. So I saw this growing up, and that's the way I did things.
Yeah.
So basically when I had several products that I was interested in pursuing, didn't know where to go. I would go to different shows and things like that. And it was just a small step, but I kept getting I'd look things up online. My mom would give me articles of this is where you should go and what you should try. And it was always the roadblock of you need a patent.
Yes.
And when you've got one idea that may be something very technical, then that makes sense. But when you've got a lot of gadgety, more inexpensive items, it wasn't something that I wanted to 10,000, 10,000, 10,000 for all of these ideas. And how do you know which one's the best?
Right. So it sounds like a lot of the information that you were finding was very much focused on a venture business model, more about going the route of maybe filing patents, starting a business. Would you say that's right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So yeah, I think that 99% of the direction that someone is typically going to be steered towards, or the information that they're going to end up finding or getting directed to, is going to be more from a venture-based or starting a business and starting a company type of business model. I think our school system is set that way. A lot of business people kind of have that mindset, and it's almost like there is no other option. Like, I don't know if you felt that way, or you the information that was coming to you made it feel like that's the only direction or that's the only option there was out there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what held me back. My desire was there, and I've always believed that if you have a dream, if you have a goal, and you have to set it to the side for whatever reason, you know, life gets in the way for all of us.
Yeah.
If it's still there, you know, weeks, months, years later, it's something you need to do. You need to pursue it. And I started to move forward a little bit more. I read Tim Ferriss' book, and Stephen Key's name popped up. And then there's Tamara Monosoff, who I started following her on social media. And again, Stephen Key's name popped up. So I started looking at some of the videos, the free information that they gave, and there's a whole lot of free information out there. It's finding which is the good stuff and which is the garbage. And so it took a while, because I do qualify the information that I take in. You know, after a while, I thought, you know what, I'm going to get his book. I got the book. And oddly enough, my brother, who was a very accomplished guitarist, was an excellent guitarist. He came to me with a guitar pick that he had developed. And he said, you know, he knew what I was pursuing, what I was doing. He said, is this something that you think we could do? I'd like you to partner with me. And I started doing the research that that I had found in Stephen Key's book, about how you go through and check to make sure it's not in the market and everything. And so he asked me to partner with him. And that's when I thought, you know what, now's the time. I got to the part in the book where Stephen Key had the guitar picks. And I thought, you know, this is the time to jump. And I've put it off, and I can remember sitting at my computer saying, this is what I'm doing. And to back up a little bit, shortly after my brother came to me, he was diagnosed with cancer, and they gave him 6 months. So I felt a time, wow. I felt like I needed to really move forward and help him in the time that we had to pursue his dream, because, you know, it was really important to me. So that made me jump a little faster to the InventRight program. Mm-hmm. And once I was into it, he wanted to venture it. This was his dream. So I let him steer, and I was just, you know, doing what he asked me to do. Mm-hmm. The more I got into the book, I realized that while the venture part was what he wanted to do, for my products, licensing was better, because I didn't have just one product that everything was around. So that became my new focus for myself. But I do want to say something about having a desire and having goals and having that feeling in your life. All of the well wishes and the kind of high fives, this is a great guitar pick that I told my brother about, I'm 100% sure that that's what gave us a year with him instead of 6 months.
Wow.
So, you know, use that motivation of what you're feeling inside. You've got your daily job, you've got the kids, the parents, whatever. But at the end of the day, even if you can only take an hour, do it for yourself. It's, yeah. You know, when you will not regret it.
Yeah. So just kind of off topic, do you mind me asking, how old was your brother?
He passed when he was 60. He was, he's older, much older than I am, but we had a really good relationship. There was no siblings in between. Mm-hmm. And we just, we were the best buddies. Mm-hmm. He was.
That's still a very young age to pass, though.
Yeah.
That's still a very young age. What kind of cancer was he diagnosed with?
With lung cancer, and we had lost my mom to lung cancer a few years prior, and she was diagnosed, and then we lost her 3 weeks later. So that 6 months actually felt like a long time to me because I was comparing it to what I had with my mom.
Was your mom diagnosed at around the same time as your brother, or totally different times?
No. She had passed a few years prior.
Oh, she had passed a few years prior. Okay.
Right. And she was diagnosed and then passed 3 weeks later. So it was very,
Okay.
It was very short.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Oh my.
So that
goodness.
Was kind of, you know, when he came to me, and then, you know, I was on a slower pace.
Yeah.
And then with that news, we picked up the pace quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I actually had originally said, you know, if you want to set this aside, because that totally became unimportant at that moment.
Yes.
And he said, no, Shelley, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so if you focus on getting yourself well, you tell me what to do, I'll do all the work. And I worked full time at that time. So I would come home, I would be up till 1-2 in the morning, just making connections, doing what I could. And I learned that the music industry is, I mean, I'm sure there's a few stinkers here and there, but the music industry is awesome. The people that, and I think Stephen Keyes referred to it also, they're just very, very helpful. They want to help you. They want to see you succeed. And it was really awesome for that to really be my first industry to start pursuing relationships, you know, mm-hmm. with companies. It was a really good place to start.
Did you find did you find the companies to be pretty open?
They were. And there were some that definitely weren't open to, because we were looking for a manufacturer. We were looking for, like I said, my brother did not understand, like I hadn't prior to, he didn't understand licensing.
Okay.
So, you know, rather than try to argue the licensing case, it was, you know, that's okay. This is what you want to do. So
yes,
we still have the ProPick, the website, we still sell them. And I'm pursuing that for him. That's his dream.
Absolutely.
And then I've went on and I also then pursue my products by licensing. Mm-hmm. And learning how to open those doors helped me. Most of my products are in the kitchen household industry. You know, and that is a great industry to be in.
Yeah.
A few other different industries. The thing that I have learned, which InventRight does talk about, is if you stay in one industry, you're going to be able to keep those connections and,
yes.
and those, you know, make those relationships. And that I went to the houseware show for the first time, and my goal was not to take prototypes or sell sheets or anything, mm-hmm. but it was just, there had been so many people that I worked with and some contracts that were ready to be signed and things like that for different products. And I just really wanted to go and meet these people who I had reached out to and had developed a relationship over the last 2-3 years and shake their hands and say, hey, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. And then let them, you know, go about their business, what they're there for. Mm-hmm. And then meet some new ones. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was beyond what I thought it would be. It was awesome.
Was this after you had done the coaching program, or was this still while you were in the coaching program that you went to the trade show?
I had actually been on the Eventbrite and then kind of dropped down because things were making me set stuff aside and I didn't have as much time to apply. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then their Eventbrite welcomes you back to the family when you're ready to come back, which is nice. So that's, you know, where I've been back and forth and just staying plugged in to valued resources. Even if you don't have a lot of time to make phone calls or you're not sending out any information, you're still kind of following up with if you start with one product and you're just doing that and you're waiting, still stay plugged in because that will help to keep that spark inside you active. When you're waiting and you're going, okay, I've reached out to 50 companies. I have 30 no's. I have 20 people that seem to like not even want to reply to me.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just something you have to keep that information coming to you and keep feeding that because that will keep you moving forward even on those days where you get three no's or you get crickets when you
send help. That's right. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I do agree. I think that if you tend to stick to one industry, at least at first, you know, initially to get and build up the relationships and to stay connected with your company contacts, it can be really helpful versus trying to bounce around to within like different industries.
Absolutely.
The kitchen and housewares is a really great space. Just the trade show every year that they have is monstrous.
Yes.
It's honestly just a monster. So, yes. But it is such a great industry to, I mean, even if you don't come up with, I don't have ideas in that space to begin with, even if it's a industry that you want to learn from, you know, as far as, because there's just so much information and so many resources that you gather and learn from. Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
So when did you, what made you decide to, you had read the book and then your brother had come to you. So you're working more on venturing the guitar pick and then you decided to become an Eventbrite student. Was it while during the same time that you were helping your brother with his venture for the guitar pick, you wanted to work on licensing your own ideas?
It was actually, you know, at that time I didn't know if he would maybe decide at some point, hey, let's go ahead and try to license it. But I knew that just for the information, I thought, you know, I'll give it a shot and see what comes from this. I can always cancel, you know, but it ended up being a learning process for myself. And then when he did pass, I started pursuing more of my products and, you know, making those connections and working on the different things that I wanted to do because we had already, you know, ventured the ProPick and we already had them manufactured. So that was kind of moving along at its own pace. But yeah, there's a lot of really good information that can help you to decide, do you want to venture? Do you want to license?
Yeah.
But ultimately, now that I've done both, signing a contract and letting someone else who already has the marketing team, the manufacturing team, all of those resources right there, and they're already using it for their other products, and yours can just kind of blend in with theirs, and you automatically get that recognition. It's so much easier than venturing.
Yeah.
I'd never tell someone, don't venture, because that's you know, that's their own decision.
Yes.
But I would definitely let them know that it's not an easy road. And if you're doing it on your own, you have to be every part of that company until Correct. You can afford to pay someone.
Yeah. I think a lot of times it almost seems unbelievable to individuals that hear about licensing that have either gone the venture route or plan on venturing, because venturing has so many logistics and there's so many parts to it and so much capital that is involved between paying for patents and starting up a company. So to kind of compare the two and be like, what I can realistically get a product to market by only doing or following these 10 steps. So sometimes I think individuals have this perception that it's either almost like a get rich quick scheme, which it's not, or that it's not really valid, like that it's not really you, that you can't really do that, that it must be impossible to be able to license a product by just doing following these 10 steps, or by not having to start your own company or business, or by not having to, you know, necessarily file patents or spend all this capital. And so I think that it tends to sometimes almost be like not believable until you actually do it, right? Until you either see others following the process and succeeding and being like, oh, okay, like this is a real thing, or until you actually decide to do it yourself and be like, okay, I'm actually going to try this and see if this is a real, this licensing business model is a real method, a real possible way of getting products to market, but in a completely different process, following a different process than the venture model process.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the process itself is simple. It's not easy.
Right.
But it's simple. It's laid out in there's, you know, the steps are simple, but the difficulty is in overcoming things that you may have blocks on.
Correct.
Make cold calls, reaching out to people, you know, putting a good sell sheet together, a good video. But these are things that we can overcome. Mm-hmm. And once we overcome, we have the keys to the licensing, the whole process.
Yeah.
So once you overcome everything, you just keep duplicating that. And it's not, like I said, it's not easy because there's a lot of roadblocks. Some people are scared to death of making phone calls, making cold calls. I've never had a problem with making relationships. I mean, that was one of the things that I enjoyed so much about the different industries that I've been in. It was, you know, making relationships, whether it be the patients that were coming in the doctor's office, or when I worked in retail, the customers. So you know, there are certain skills that you can learn and will help you to license and help you to do better in licensing.
I agree. And you hit the nail right on the head. The process is simple, but it's not easy. I think sometimes the expectation is that this licensing is going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's not. It still requires hard work. It still requires patience, persistence, obviously your ideas, but also ownership and responsibility of, you know, following through on the steps and following through the process. But overcoming the, like you had mentioned, overcoming the roadblocks and the limitations mentally is going to be one of the, what I think what we see a lot of individuals actually struggling with the most is really overcoming their limitations while they're going through the process and then realizing, oh, this isn't necessarily easy, but still being, how do we get through it? How do we get past it? I think I think that's one of the biggest benefits that the coaches bring, is that when you see the steps on, whether it's on the website, online, on a piece of paper, in the book, or read about them, it seems like, oh, okay, like I can just follow these steps. Mm-hmm. But then when you're experiencing it, all these things are going on through your head. All these different things are popping up that you don't necessarily know the answers to, or you might be guessing at. And then things start to either stall, you get stuck, or you end up shooting yourself in the foot because you didn't necessarily, that mental block was there, you know, and absolutely, you didn't know how to move past it. And so I found that like the benefit of the having a coach to be there with you as you're coming across those mental blocks is so important, because they've been through the same ones themselves typically, right, and they're able to get you through it. So did you end up licensing one of your ideas?
There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that's going on, but there's one product that has launched recently. I can't really discuss it too much because I don't have the confirmation of permission to discuss it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it has recently launched the, and then there's a couple others that I've, you know, that's going on in the background. And that's the other nice thing that I wanted to bring up is when you've got the coaching, when you've got a lot of things that you're juggling, mm-hmm, they can help you to sort things out. So, for example, don't focus too much on this. Let it sit. Let it, you know, just follow up with this. And then let's focus on this one. Or, you know, and the coaching, it's nice. It's a security blanket. So
yeah,
when you start to go, you know what, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. You can go back to them and say, okay, I'm pretty sure that I want to respond this way, but what's your thoughts? And it's nice to have someone else that will think things through for you, because to ask your spouse, your brother, your sister, you know, to ask them, they don't really know
they're not going to know. They're not going to know.
They don't know how to answer that. And I mean, there's no certain way to answer everything that's going to be the best way, but they'll definitely guide you, mm-hmm, in the way that they feel that you should, so that you're successful.
Do you feel like your confidence has increased over this time?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, initially I was not sure if licensing was for me. I just wanted to check it out. And over time, you start to realize that these roadblocks that you thought were going to be there, you just jumped that hurdle, you jumped another hurdle, and, you know, now you're signing a licensing deal, and now you're jumping hurdles on another one.
Yeah.
And it starts to become easier and easier, and then that's when EventRight always says, you know, we're trying to help you to learn this process so that you can leave the nest.
And that's right.
And so I stay attached in a way that I'm getting the information and the videos, and I'll stay tuned into that just for the information, because we can all use that.
Yeah. You don't want to, I mean, you can leave the nest, but the nest is, you know, you can always come back and, you know, and stay with your family. Yeah. So,
you don't have to break away completely. You can break away and stay. You know, they're always posting things on LinkedIn and Facebook and all the social media that you can check out. And it's like schooling that you've actually chosen to learn about.
You
know, there's so many things that's out there. You know, you go to college and you learn a whole lot of stuff and then some extra stuff, and you know, 10% of it is what you really want.
That's right.
Extra.
Oh, I was thinking of this today, Michelle.
This is the 10%.
I was just thinking
into 100%.
Yes. This is exactly. This is Oh man, the amount of student loans that I think of when, you know, when individuals go to college, and my student loans, of course, as well, is rather painful. But I like that this is a real life applicable program and method that you can apply and actually, you know, see come to fruition. And so it's, yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree with what you just said. Absolutely.
It's exciting when you start to see what you're learning, you're applying it and you're seeing results.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, I get it now.
I think some people also give up too early. They either lose confidence or lose belief in the process or themselves or even their ideas and really tend to give up too soon versus understanding that with everything in life, whether it's licensing your ideas or learning how to do anything, it's always going to take time. And some things are going to take longer than others. Sometimes it's going to take a longer time, and everyone's experience and their learning is different as well. And so, but if it's like what you had mentioned, if it's something that you keep coming back to, and if it's something that you're thinking about all the time and it's just not going away, then it is something that you should do for yourself. And it is worth it because in the long run, the more you do it, the more you practice, the more you apply it, the more in with regards to licensing, the more ideas you have, the more relationships you build. It's not really, you know, oh, am I ever going to license anything? It's, oh, I wonder which product is going to get licensed. Oh, I wonder which company is going to license, you know, which products.
Right.
So it becomes more of that because you have a strong, there's a book actually, The Miracle Equation by Hal Elrod. I'll have to plug it. He's not paying me to plug his book though. So if there's anyone listening to the podcast, obviously you have to read Stephen Key's book, One Simple Idea. But Hal Elrod also has a really great book, and it talks about the unwavering faith and also your effort. So putting those two together, as you have to have a strong belief in what you're doing, but also put effort towards it. And, you know, that will lead to your outcomes being possible instead of just probable. So I think that is really a big part of it as well, because some individuals tend to be more analytical and numbers focused, wanting to start crunching numbers, which is totally fine as far as what is this going to, how much might I make on this, how long is it going to take, how many products do I need to pitch, etc. And I think that kind of steers away from the strong belief and also determination. If it's just down to analyzing the numbers, I would say don't do it. But if it's something that, if it's something more like you're analytical and you're just focused on the money and the numbers, I would say don't do it. If it's something that this is your passion, you enjoy doing, you enjoy learning, you enjoy coming up with ideas, and you want to be able to have this for your whole life, then 100%, then it's absolutely a right fit.
And if you start focusing too much on the money and the numbers, you get too caught up in that, I think. I've never done that because I'd rather wait and be surprised than to sit there and think of what could be. And there's no way to tell. You know, Correct. We can guesstimate, we can spend hours trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, a company just licensed this and they have sales in this, and it's a similar product or what. You can sit and try to figure out, but you're better off to use your time focusing on your next product and let what happens, happens.
Yeah.
And some products, some companies are they want you to be recognized as the inventor. Some don't.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Either way, you're still getting the check.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. That's correct. Well, what are some, what would you say are some keys to licensing? And it doesn't have to be a whole list, you know, one or two things that you would either want somebody to come away with or take away with them as they're going through and trying to license their own ideas.
I would say, first of all, I mean, just foremost, just keep moving forward. Whatever, if you have a roadblock, just keep moving forward. There's Mel Robbins has got a 5-second rule.
I love that 5-second rule, Mel Robbins.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Woo, woo. Let's pitch her book too, Mel. Yeah. Mel Robbins, 5-second rule.
Yeah, and she, and it's really, I mean, if you're at that point, do it. You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, dial that phone number, make a call. And the other thing I would say definitely is relationships have always been super important. Reach out to people, be considerate of their time,
yeah.
Make a relationship with that person and, you know, let them know that you are interested in pitching this product to them for their benefit and yours. It's a mutual benefit if they license it and they take it to market. So value your relationships with the companies because ultimately, that's what's going to get you the deal.
That is.
If you are, you know, snarky and you know, in your email because they're not getting back to you or something, you might as well forget that deal.
Yes.
But even then, once they do license it, keep that relationship because then you can help them. You know, do you need help with patterns? Is there anything that I can help with on my end?
Yep.
They may not, but fortunately, the companies I've been working with, and the one that recently launched, did ask for my input. And
yeah.
So, you know, I would share it, and then they can choose to take what they need and leave the rest. But definitely, just the relationships are invaluable.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And on that, I'm going to end and thank you for the relationship that we've built over these years. And it's just been it's been a pleasure getting to know you. I met you at the Houseware show last year, and it was just so great to be able to meet face to face. And so thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much, and best of luck to everyone out there.
Thank you for listening to The Key to Licensing, One Simple Idea, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can also check out our YouTube shows, Eventbrite TV, with Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Join me next week for another interview. Thank you for listening, and keep inventing.